This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, and Brewers Outlet. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And we welcome everyone to Daytona Beach, where today the Nittany Lion basketball team will take on Fordham. 4 o'clock the tip-off, 3:30 the airtime, in the semifinals of the Sunshine Slam. Weather a bit different than what we encountered in Minneapolis on Saturday. In fact, my view is a little bit different than it was Friday. My view Friday was of Mall of America. My view right now is of the Atlantic Ocean. Rich Scarsello will join us at 2:05 today. I believe we have John Griffin as well, correct?
I think.
We'll find out. First of all, how are you?
I am doing fine. As soon as I heard your voice, I became much better.
Oh, you know what? When I logged in, I could tell you everything under control. It was great. Yeah. So let's talk about Saturday. It's interesting about Saturday, Todd. I want to go back 6 weeks, and even in the off season, I was talking to Jack Hamm in the off season, and as you know, people who have heard the show enough, they know I do a lot of off-season work to get ready for the season. That way, when I get to the weeks, it's easier for me to get things done with everything that's going on by doing a lot of pre-work. And I remember when I was done with Minnesota, and I do it in chronological order, so obviously the next to last team I prepared for football was Minnesota. I sat there and went, man, he's got a lot of older veteran players, names that I knew from the past. Now, I knew nothing about Coy Parrish at this point. Nothing. And I was like, jeez. So I called Jack up. I said, check out the Minnesota team to get a chance. I said, he's got an older veteran team with a lot of players that we've seen over the years. Jod Joyner, Wally, Lindenberg, Daniel Jackson, Taylor, Major. I knew nothing about Brosmer. Zero. The quarterback, I knew nothing about him. Right? And I was like, you know, Brockington caught a touchdown pass from Beaver Stadium a couple of years ago. And then, you know, and Kesich was the Big Ten kicker of the year last year. And this is back, Todd, this is back in May. And then about 6 weeks ago, before the Ohio State game, a couple weeks, you know, I think we're on the plane coming back from USC. And I looked over and I said, jeez, Jack. I said, yeah, everybody knows Ohio State's coming up. He says, yeah. I said, but, man, there's another game. He looked at me, he said, Minnesota. I said, yeah. And just, you know, again, we had just watched the Minnesota-USC game leading into USC. I thought, geez, that team is a tough, hard-nosed team. Okay. And in talking with James leading up into the game this past week, he said, to be honest with you guys, and he told Jack and I both, we're just standing there. He says, this might be the best defensive team we've faced yet. Yeah. And, yeah, we know Ohio State's very good, but we understood where he was coming from because they had an impact guy at all three levels, which to me is when you're starting to look at a defense, do you have an impact guy at each level? And they do. Joyner, Lindenberg, and Parrish. And Parrish is a very talented player. And I'm like, okay. So we're walking off the field in the pregame. He goes, we just always like to just go down and walk around a little bit. And we're both standing in the end zone. And on TV, it would be the end zone to the right, you would see. We're going to go into the tunnel. And we both said, geez, if they can just get out of here by a point, that'd be incredible. Now, this is before the game. It's like, yeah. Yeah, I think it was more cliche than anything else, but I'm not going to say it was very insightful. And because we thought Minnesota, you know, 2 weeks to prepare, the whole deal, right? And when you look at the Indiana-Ohio State game, the Indiana-Ohio State game, when did Indiana score on the opening drive? Now, you'll find teams normally that have 2 weeks to prepare. That opening drive usually is pretty good, all right, because they've had time. That's the script. That's what they've worked on. Indiana scored first drive. Minnesota scored first drive. 2 weeks to prepare. And you just could tell this is going to be one of those grinding games. And you want to talk about things going wrong. Right? So Donko's long term. That means Rucci now is going to have to play. Alonzo Ford, unfortunately, is long term. That means you're going to have to either get Xavier Gillingham or Ty Blanding to be that. They're going to have to be, the in whatever order, the fourth and fifth defensive tackles. Okay? And besides Rucci, J.B. Nelson, Cooper Cousins, and maybe Javon Williams and Egan Boyer, because Boyer is, you can play Boyer anytime you want now. They're going to have to step in and play. So, I mean, they got long-term injuries. Now, let's get to the fake punt. I don't know how many. I knew, in talking with James, I knew during the season he'd called it a few times because he told me. I mean, this is like, you know, these are like things like you just talk in the side, whatever. And, you know, you watch them run it in practice. Right? And he says, I've actually called it a few times. He said, Rucci's the one that calls when they're out there, whether it's go, no go. And they called the fake punt a few times during the season. And each time they got the wrong look, and Rucci got him out of it. In other words, it's kill, kill, and you go on. Okay? Well, this time, when they got it, remember earlier, again, you want to talk about special teams mistakes. Oh, you know, the block, you know, the partially blocked punt leads to a touchdown from 21 yards. The 2 points the other way on the extra point where instead of blocking down, they block, you know, one guy blocked out. Well, fabulous. You know, when he's not supposed to block out, he's supposed to block down, but he blocked out. Like, really? And he came through clean. And he blocked the extra point, and they ran it back for two. So, like, they've got 9 points in this game directly attributed to mistakes. So here they are, third and one, their own 34. And let's just start with this. And this isn't being talked about that often, but it's got to be, you got to give credit where credit's due. Tyler Dzanski, the snapper. You have to remember, when he makes a snap back to Riley Thompson, it's a snap that's straight, but it's got to be on the right hip. Okay? That's where the ball needs to be. When it's an extra point or a field goal, boom, it's straight right to the holder, correct? Not that snap. That snap has to be angled because Reynolds is not standing right behind him. Remember, there's still the opening with the punter. You don't want to give the illusion that you're snapping it directly to Reynolds. So to make it a snap at that angle on the money, tremendous. And, you know, Rucci makes the call. Then Rucci makes a big block. Dakari Nelson makes a big block. And he gets 32 yards on the play. You want to talk about guts. Then they got the fourth and one on the push. And then, of course, the surrender play at the end where Warren makes the catch. And, you know, they wanted to go to Singleton on the right, and let's give Minnesota credit again. Smart, right? They covered it, and so he goes back to Warren on the other side, and that freshman Parrish, who's really good, Todd. It's one of those times where he made a freshman mistake. He lost Warren on the play because he's the guy that actually lost Warren, and then Drew found him, and then boom, what does Warren do? Boom, down because the game's over. No need to score. All right. It's just one of those gutsy wins. And when you're just trying to win games, to do everything you can to get to the playoff, and we're at the stage we're at, margin doesn't matter anymore. It's just, you know, when you've got one loss, which they have, it's just about winning games. Margin is actually irrelevant. And we saw on Saturday the number of teams that are in playoff contention that didn't win.
I don't know. I'm reading some places that an SEC loss is better than a Big Ten road win.
Well, I'm going to, you know what, I'll quickly say something about that. I really have not paid any attention at all to what people have been saying. I've had other people tell me, but I've stayed away from it. You know, maybe a week from today, I'll talk more about it. You know, should Penn State win against Maryland on Saturday? I will probably talk about it next week. But I haven't paid much attention to it. I've paid very little attention to it. I've had other people tell me. Like, oh, you know, Paul Feinbaum said this or somebody else said that. I'm like, oh, yeah. But, you know, my point has been pretty simple. When people have said that to me, they said, do they have a vote in the committee? They said, well, no. I said, then it doesn't matter.
I kind of feel like, you know, where some of the NBA or the MLB guys kind of what their sources are, that you just kind of hear some guys say some things, and it just sounds like it's sometimes it's coming directly from the SEC office's mouth. Where, you know, they want it in people's ear that Indiana didn't beat anybody and then got blown out on the road at Ohio State, but sure. You know, Alabama's still really good.
Well, you know what? I mean, Alabama goes to Oklahoma, and to be honest with you, based on the body of work to this point in the season, I would openly debate who's better, Minnesota or Oklahoma. Now, Oklahoma has the big name, but Minnesota might be the better team.
I think it was their first 1A win since the end of September?
Yes. Yep. There's a lot to debate there.
Yeah.
But again, I'm going to save some of this for next week. I hope people don't mind, because I've really tried to just stay in the moment of what's going on with this team, with the game they're going to play. I know that sounds cliche-ish maybe to some people, which I completely understand. But to be honest with you, I've been able to do it. I have not clicked onto any stories about what somebody else thinks. I haven't clicked on zero. I've gone through the whole season and haven't done any of it. The stories I've clicked on have been, okay, how's practice gone this week at UCLA? What do I know? Does anybody have a story about USC? Does anybody have a story about Maryland and the quarterback situation because Billy Edwards got hurt on Saturday? Those are the stories I've clicked on. I mean, I've stayed away from everything else. Now, in a week, okay, now it'll be a little different story at that point. You know, and I will, like, maybe tool around a little bit and find out what people are thinking about X, Y, and Z.
Well, fingers crossed, right. We'll have 2 weeks to fill after this weekend.
Right, which is fine. And the other part, too, is for people like, oh, well, you have to remember, too, I'm doing a double schedule right now. Right? So why am I in Daytona? I'm doing basketball today. And I've got a basketball game tomorrow. So it's easier for me to stay in the moment because I'm forced to stay in the moment. Right? I'm forced to do it. So today was about going down, doing the pregame show with Mike Rhodes, sat in on the film session with the team, do the show with you, and then as soon as the show's, I'm done with this part. I'm walking over the arena. The arena's only a half mile away. I'll walk down there, and then we'll go on at 3:30. I'll do it. And then tonight, after I get a bite to eat, I have to work on tomorrow's game. So, in other words, see how I can stay away from reading about other things? I don't have, like, the time to do it when you're doing two sports at once. So I've got the luxury of not having to read what somebody else writes about whatever. You know, I don't have the, you know. But like next week, yeah, next week I might. We'll see. You know? But like when I get back, I mean, I'll do the game tomorrow, flight back at 9 o'clock on Tuesday night, whatever, get back about midnight. Tomorrow I got quarterback club. You know, so, I mean Wednesday. Wednesday I've got quarterback club. Then Thanksgiving, I'm doing nothing. Zero. I think I'll go. They do have a walkthrough Thursday morning, Thanksgiving. I'll go to that. But that's an hour, okay? That's nine periods.
That's okay. Just to get out of setting the table.
No, I think we're very limited. I mean, what are you doing? What are you doing for Thanksgiving?
We go to my in-laws, my mother-in-law's on Thursday for the actual day of Thanksgiving, and then we are going to Philly on Saturday for. I have my brother and my cousins are down in Philly.
Oh, nice, nice. That's really nice.
Yeah, it should be fun.
No, I'm happy about that. That's great. It sounds like a lot of fun. Enjoy it. I know that. You know, so as you can see, like schedule wise, like, you know, I have a lot of fun with it. Nobody's having more fun than I am. I'm enjoying because I love my job. I go back to the post-game show of Ohio State, and I then said it on Monday's show. I said, look, they're in a four-game playoff to make the playoff. And then they beat Washington. I said, they're in a three-game playoff to make the playoff. So then they beat Purdue. And I said, they're in a two-game playoff to make the playoff. Then they beat Minnesota. Well, now they're in a one-game playoff to make the playoff. They win the game on Saturday. They're in. Okay? So no debate, no talking about schedules and blah, 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 and all that other. I mean, you take opinion out of it. I mean, literally, opinion is out of it if you win on Saturday. It really is that simple. And
should have a home game.
Right? That part I'll think about later.
Okay.
Okay, to me, again, you know what I mean? In other words, win Saturday, you're in. Now, at that point, we can talk about the other stuff that goes with it. That's how I view it. Now, today, once I'm done with the show, my concentration's completely on Penn State Fordham. You know, it's good to see old friend Keith Urgo, by the way, 10 years as the associate head coach at Penn State basketball, and I had a great talk with Urgs last night. And Abdu Timbila, who had been on the Penn State basketball team, now is at Fordham. So I had a chance to talk to him about how Abdu is doing right now, which is great. And then tomorrow it's either San Francisco or Clemson. It's one of the, you know. So I've got enough to occupy me, so I don't really need to sit there and read other things because it's a little busy, which is perfectly fine.
And it probably keeps your blood pressure down.
Me? Nah. You know me.
Well, relatively speaking.
I mean, do you think my blood pressure is high?
No.
No. I'm pretty like, okay, whatever. Like, I don't usually worry too much about somebody else's opinion. I never have because I think everyone's entitled to have one. It doesn't mean that we have to have the same opinion. Now, do I think some people have more informed opinions than others? Now, an informed opinion, like really informed, okay, I really will listen to it. But everybody's entitled to an opinion. That's what makes this show fun. There'll be people who have different opinions than me, and I'll say, okay, well, I understand that. You know, if I have some additional information I can add to it to maybe, like, you know, enhance an opinion, more than happy to do that. Yeah, so that's me. We have to take a break. See, I'm still aware of the time, even though I'm looking at the waves come in. I have a great ocean view, man. It's really nice. They gave me a great room. I really did. We'll come back more. Oh, we went last night. we went last night. Joe Putnam set this up. Dick Girardi, Joe, and I went over to Joe's Crab Shack. It was good, man. It was really good. I enjoyed that. Oh, it's good to get a little seafood at the sea as we continue here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by our great friends at Purdy Insurance.
The holidays are filled with traditions. Why not start a new one this year by getting up to an additional $1,000 off a new Kia? It's the Kia Season of New Traditions sales event at Sunbury Motors Kia. Hurry into Sunbury Motors Kia for exceptional holiday deals on all the popular Kias. And get up to $1,000 additional off on select models. 2024 Kia Sorentos have 0% financing for 48 months and start as low as $28,495. 2025 Sorentos have 1.9% for 60 months. And there's 16 to choose from. 2025 Kia Sportages have 1.9% financing for 60 months and start under $30,000 with 24 on the lot. And there's 21 2024 and 2025 all-wheel drive Kia Tellurides starting at just $39,995. Celebrate the holidays during the Kia Season of New Traditions sales event at Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip in Hummel's Wharf.
For details, see dealer or go to Kia.com.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Brewers Outlet, Sunbury Motor Company, and Purdy Insurance. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And great to have you with us this half hour, being brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, RV. Multitude of insurance needs. And we're thankful for them on this Thanksgiving week. All of our sponsors. Sunbury Motors. Brewers Outlet. Todd does an incredible job, so...
Thank you.
And you do. You do an incredible job. And this is, I mean, for a guy that, look, this wasn't your strong suit coming in because, I mean, you haven't done it before. You've been tremendous. So, really have. Thank you. Because let's be honest about it. I can't do the job you're doing on that end. I can't do that job. I can't. Yeah, there's a bunch of jobs I can't do.
I was just going to say, if you make me mad, I can just turn you down.
Yeah, now you sound like Bob Taylor, who's our engineer for football and basketball and so forth. He goes, I have the power to turn you down. Yeah, right. Then, of course, we'll be at dinner, and he'll say, we'll be kidding, and I'll say, yes, and I have the power to go to the people that run the place. And he looked at me and goes, good point. No, we're just kidding, you know. It's nothing serious ever. So, but that, look, this there's when you are fighting, if you're in the two-loss pool, which I've talked about, right? You're now fighting the opinion part of it. Okay, and. But when you're in the one-loss pool, all you need right now is to win. We saw on Saturday how difficult it is to win. Ole Miss goes to Florida, third loss. Alabama goes to Oklahoma, third loss. Colorado, okay, goes to Kansas, third loss. BYU goes to Arizona State, second loss. Right, you're seeing this like across the country. And that is, first of all, I think there's a couple parts that enter into this. One, let's go big picture for a moment. And on big picture, I think this is where we're seeing the transfer portal have a real effect that's evened out the competition. I was talking with Don Munson this morning, who's Clemson's play-by-play guy. And he, after their game on Saturday, he and his wife drove down here to Daytona. He told me it's a seven-hour drive. They've got South Carolina coming up this week. And that should be a really good game. I mean, a really good game. And, and he's waiting to see what happens with the ACC as to where they are right now. But South Carolina is really good. Clemson doesn't use the transfer portal. South Carolina does. And in a lot of ways, it really clears up. In a lot of ways, it's changed the competition level for everybody. I mean, look how Indiana's been able to get to where they are. Okay? Who makes the punt return on Saturday in the Ohio State-Indiana game? Caleb Downs, transfer from Alabama. Really? I mean, so you're seeing a lot of that across the country, where you have people that are transferring and they're getting better because of it. Minnesota's not a big transfer team, but Brosmer, the quarterback's a transfer, and he's a good player. They're mostly a homegrown group, very few transfers. And their transfers, by the way, usually for the most part, now Brosmer doesn't fit into this category. A couple of the transfers, like Quinn Carroll, the offensive lineman, happen to be from Minnesota. And so the transfer portal, I think, has made a big difference in what we're seeing. Now, let's give Billy Napier some credit down at Florida, Todd. Florida was struggling early in the season. And he started, he did what Joe did in 1967. You know, 1967, Joe goes down to Miami and he just starts putting in all the players he recruited, right? Which at this point were sophomores. You couldn't play freshmen in 1967. So he started mixing in early in that Miami game on that Friday night other players that he recruited.
I know one of them.
Yeah, of course you do.
Neil Smith.
Yep, Neil Smith was one of them. And, Neil, of course, who's, had 10 interceptions in a season, which was phenomenal. But that's what he did. Billy Napier, so let's now fast forward to 2024. Billy Napier, he's playing Lagway, the freshman, at quarterback. He's playing the tailback as a freshman. He's now mixing in more of the players that he has recruited in his time there at Florida. I think it's made a big difference, not just transfers. And I think that's been a part of what they've been doing. And they've won the last 2 weeks, and they've played well. And they did a great job against Ole Miss the other day. And here's Ole Miss. They're coming off the win over Georgia. They feel great about themselves. It's no big deal. They're rolling. They're going to be in the playoff. They're going to be a problem. Don't win. Alabama. Alabama's rolling along. Okay? Got themselves back on track. Everybody's feeling better about Alabama. Okay. And they go to Oklahoma. In fact, to be honest with you, how competitive really in Indiana was Alabama on Saturday? I'm watching the game in Minneapolis. I'm thinking, it didn't look competitive to me at all. Milroe had one of those. Milroe is an interesting player. when he's rolling, especially when he's mixing his run with his throws, and like most of his throws are just like, I mean, the next one he lays over somebody's hands will be the first time, but like, because he throws all fastballs, but when he's on, right? And then you mix in the run, like, wow, he's something else. And then he has a game like Saturday, and we've seen that before, like, where's he throwing? What's he doing? And Oklahoma beat him.
It's hard to believe. I mean, it's hard to believe it's the same guy that played in the semifinal last year against Michigan. And, I mean, you can go game to game. Heck, you can go half to half. I mean, look at the difference between the first half against Georgia and the second half against Georgia.
I mean, I remember early in the season watching him against Wisconsin. I thought, wow, he is something else. Look at him play. I mean, I was so impressed. And I'm watching Saturday night. I'm like, didn't even look like the same guy. Okay. Now Georgia is into the SEC championship game. And Texas A&M goes to Auburn. They lose in overtime. So now they've got three losses. Right? They've got to play Texas. Is that Texas game Friday?
I think so.
Yeah. And, you know, it is, I mean, and I understand I want to make a quick comment about ESPN, the way they cover things. And for the most part, you know, they're fine.
Quick one, but, Steve. Texas A&M is 7:30 Saturday night.
7:30 Saturday night. Okay.
Saturday night.
Okay, good. Okay, it's the first time they've played in, 13, 14 years?
It's been a while.
Yeah. I'm glad it's Saturday night because I really want to sit back and watch that game. It's going to be great. And it's in College Station, right? Should be in College
Kyle
Station.
Field.
Yep. Where, ironically, Georgia's never played. Interesting. Yeah. We have a tough schedule. Oh, really? How tough's Kyle Field to play in? Well, we never played there. I go, yeah, you guys have a nice manipulated schedule, don't you? All right, so. But when you look at, I'm watching highlights the other night, and they put the Big Ten highlights last. I'm like, what the heck? I'm watching this the other night. They put it last. I'm like, well, all the SEC highlights. Then it was the Big 12 was next. Then the ACC. And they did all the stuff that they do first, that they have the contract for. But I'm watching them do the highlights of the Colorado-Kansas game. And to be honest with you, Colorado kind of kicked their backside. I mean, so Kansas kind of kicked their backside, right? I mean, that game was...
Yeah, I think Devin Neal had 5 touchdowns.
Yeah. Okay. And what are they showing? They're showing Travis Hunter highlights, including a Heisman pose. Like, you lost. I mean, the first part of the highlight package was all Colorado, and they showed 2 Devin Neal touchdowns, and that was it. Like, what are you doing? I mean, I know the guy's great and the whole deal. I got that part. I mean, I understand that. And is he going to win the Heisman? Like, as you know, I'm not really all that concerned about it. But, like, the other team won, and then one guy had a bunch of touchdowns. You don't, like, don't you? Isn't that important? Isn't the winning and losing important? And... How about, I do have to talk about the Eagles, by the way. Can we talk about the Eagles for a second? Wow.
I was going to say, which is talking about Saquon.
Wow. Well, pro and con. So let's get to the con part, okay? Brandon Graham.
Yeah, that's pretty bad, pretty sad.
Yeah, Brandon Graham, I'll never forget, Penn State went in and played Michigan in Ann Arbor in 2009. This is how far back Graham goes. And Penn State took them apart. They went like 35-7 or something like that in Ann Arbor. And I remember the defense going in. And I thought, yeah, Graham's really good. Then doing the game, again, Penn State scored 5 touchdowns. I thought Graham was tremendous. And Jack and I were like, you know what? they don't really have a great defense right now at Michigan, but that guy is a tremendous player. Well, it's been great watching him in the pros. And, of course, people will never forget what he did to Brady at the end of the Super Bowl. But what an absolutely great NFL pros pro player Brandon Graham has been. And I just felt awful to think that his season and probably his career ends on that note. Jeez. As for Barkley, oh, go ahead. Sorry,
Tom. I was going to say, at least he can take solace that he played he played really well in his last game.
Yes. But you know what? He always plays well.
Well, that's true. But
I mean, to give him credit, I mean, that's not going to give Graham credit. He always plays well. And Saquon was unbelievable because Dick Girardi and I are watching the game last night together. And of course, you know, DJ's down from the Philly area. Every single time they got to the line of scrimmage, Dick says, "Give it to Barkley. Next play. Give it to Barkley. Next play. Give it to Barkley." Then Gainwell was in the game. He goes, "Give it to Barkley." I said, "They can't. He's on the sideline." He said, "I don't care. Give it to him anyway." I was a little tired, so I didn't see the second half. Because to get here yesterday, I got up at 4 in the morning to get out of the hotel and get a 7 o'clock flight to Atlanta and then down here. So I was a little tired by the time I got to halftime. Maybe years ago I would have made it all the way through. But then I saw today at 2:55 in the game.
I was going to say, you actually missed the best part.
yeah, I guess I did.
He had two to 77. Actually, you needed another 15 minutes, and you probably could have seen the 77-yarder to open the half.
Okay. Yeah, I was just kind of like, okay, I got to. And I'll freely admit, I was out cold. It's like, okay.
I keep texting my brother. Like I said, my brother's in Philly, and the last two games, I keep texting him. Like, I think we talked about it when it happened. I still don't understand what the Giants were doing. Like, I feel like why they let him go? Yeah, with Saquon. Like, I get the whole analytics thing with the running back, and I kind of agree with it. But there's exceptions to everything, and I think it's very clear with his talent that he is kind of the exception to that.
Todd, it's the best thing that ever happened to him.
Oh yeah,
I mean because when they get to the line of scrimmage, he's got Lane Johnson, and he's got Juergens, and he's got Dickerson. I mean that whole group up front. That offensive line for Philadelphia, even without Jason Kelce, what a great crew. I mean, for the first time in his pro career, he's got an offensive line. And look how good he is because of those guys. I mean, that offensive line, he was never going to get that with the Giants. Never. And I say that as a lifelong Giants fan. I mean, I'm sorry. It was just, it's just... I give the Giants a lot of credit. I mean, I'm sorry, I give the Eagles a lot of credit. Their offensive line is superior.
The best thing was is recognizing that Becton could be so good as a pulling guard, maybe.
Yes, and Becton is really good. I mean, again, it really is. There's no question at this stage, going into Thanksgiving weekend, what the cream is in the NFC. It's two teams. It's Detroit and it's Philadelphia. And what does Detroit have and what does Philadelphia have? They both have great offensive lines. Wow. I mean, not good offensive lines. They both have great offensive lines. Okay, if you're going to talk about two of the best right tackles in the game, Lane Johnson and Penei Sewell. Wow. I mean, that's terrific.
The only thing that's really giving me pause is, we're probably, well, I guess I wasn't here that Monday last year, but, we're probably having the same conversation when they're 10-1 at the same time last year and they're 9-2 this year. But we're now at the stretch of the season where it fell apart. I don't feel like it's going to, but,
No, this is different because of Saquon Barkley.
Yeah.
They didn't have this in the offense. There was a play last night in the first half where Hurts is goes and the weird, you know what the weird thing is? You know what the weak link in the offense might be? Him.
Yeah.
Seriously. I mean, I know Philadelphia fans think he's a great quarterback. He's not a great quarterback. He's good. He's good. He's very good, but he's not great.
He's great for what they want to do, but if they get them off schedule, it's going to be interesting what they, you know, what they come up with for him.
But there was a play last night where he got pressured, and it was up the middle at him, and he couldn't get out, and he was able to just sling it, sidearm it to Barkley, and Barkley got like 7-8 yards on the play. Like, he could never have done that before with somebody else. Right?
God love Boston Scott, but it's hard to find the 5'6" dude.
Yeah, I mean, but Boston Scott, I said this for a long time, he's fine, he's functional, but he's just another guy.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, Gainwell, to be honest with you, Gainwell's just another guy. Barkley is a cut above. Like, it's just not even, you know, like, and when I mean just another guy, Gainwell's a professional runner. You know what I mean? He's a pro. I mean, so he's obviously really, he's good enough to be in the NFL. So I automatically respect that. And he's good enough to get playing time. I automatically respect that. But in terms of a different, you know what I mean? Talking about a difference maker, Gainwell as a difference maker is just another guy. But Barkley, you can make a couple of mistakes and Barkley still will gain yards. I'm talking about the Eagles offense could make a mistake and he'll still gain yards. That's a difference maker.
I hope that's what you were talking about because I'm a heady player.
You know, I had to laugh today. I mean, it's not funny. I mean, I'm not going to get into this. No, I'm not. Actually, I'm not. I'm going to stay away from it. Right. Better. No need.
Safe than sorry.
We'll take a break. Rich Scarcella in the next half hour. Great to have you with us here in Daytona, where the waves are rolling in and the seagulls are circling here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Great to have you with us today from Daytona. Penn State basketball, 4 o'clock today with Fordham. We're on beginning at 3:30. Looking forward to that. The other game between Clemson and South Carolina, between Clemson and San Francisco, is being played right now over at the Ocean Center. So when the show's over, quick half-mile walk down there. It's 75 degrees. No problem walking down there. Rich Scarcella on Penn State football. We'll hear from the great man, the voice of reason, in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Brought to you by Purdy Insurance.